That brings us to, obviously, the next major event of the last 3 years, at least for markets. If you are a student of history and markets, you noticed, perhaps, hopefully early on, that the dot-com telecom bubble was not new. The technology was new, of course, but the story was old. It was the story of a revolution. It was, perhaps, the story of the railroads in the 1800s. Before I take you through that analogy, however, let me stop for a minute and give you a little piece of something that's done me a great deal of good. If you want to think about bubbles and trading frenzies, if you would personally like to learn a little bit more about it, or I'd give yourself some background, there is a little book by a man called Charles McKay. The name of the book is Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. It was written all the way back in 1875. It is so popular that you can go to Barnes & Noble or anywhere else today and get a paperback copy of it. Psychologists read it. People from Wall Street read it. You look in there, you'll find a little bit of something you've seen over the last 20 years. If you do pick it up, you have to be sure to read the chapters on Tulip Mania, the South Sea Bubble, and the Mississippi Scheme. You will know a lot more about markets, mob psychology, in fact, how the Fed is set up, even though he never mentions the Fed, and, unfortunately, the bursting of all those bubbles. For example, in the chapter, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, it is Charles McKay is the author, and some of it is somewhat turgid, really. I don't recommend you sit up on a Saturday night studying about the alchemists, all right? But some of this stuff is, to some degree, riveting, having watched what you do. An example, in the chapter on the South Sea Bubble, and let me very quickly, if you haven't read it or don't know anything about the South Sea Bubble, in the early 1700s, Malthus was, or Malthites were around thinking that the world was all going to starve to death and we would be in big trouble, and they discovered something called breadfruit trees in the South Pacific. Mutiny on the Bounty. You remember Mutiny on the Bounty? Well, they were going to go to the South Pacific, and they were going to find this stuff, and they were going to bring it back, and they could feed all of Europe. They would feed everybody, and that's what a good deal of that was about. So they started, this is going to be the biggest thing we ever saw. Okay? So what do we need? We need ships. Why do you think you don't find a really large forest in England anymore? They cut them all down to make ships and then later to make charcoal for the Industrial Revolution, okay? Nations can get captivated. Anyway, in the chapter on the South Sea Bubble, you will read about a frenzy of IPOs. Everybody's going to make money on this thing. I got to get in on this. My brother-in-law told me about it. Somebody's going to show me a way that I can really make money on this. And soon they were starting companies and giving out prospectuses, okay? This is 1720, I think, somewhere around there. Let me quote from one of the prospectuses. When you know you've got the public on the come and they will buy almost anything, they wrote in 1720 in the prospectus. This is a prospectus for a company, I quote, for carrying on an undertaking of great advantage, but no one is to know what it is. Does that sound a little bit like some of the dot-coms you heard about? Okay, this thing has happened. Fevers, frenzies, get there. Anyway, as you will read in McKay, if you get there, trading bubbles wasn't easy even back in the 1600s, somewhat earlier, when things like tulips went wild. McKay's story, I think if you can get the book, you will love it. If nothing but for the tulip mania, where I will digress for a moment, where a sailor comes back having not heard anything about the tulips and has a secret message for a very wealthy merchant. And he gives the message to the merchant, and the merchant wishes to reward him. And instead of giving him 2 florins or whatever, he decides that the man probably would like a good meal, and he had some good cheese and a little wine and some bread. And he said to the man, have yourself some Edam or Munster or whatever it was, and ran off to go and execute his order based on what his new information was. And he came back horrified to find that the sailor felt that he would like the cheese with a little onion on it. And there was no onion, there was a rare tulip bulb, and the guy had cut it in half, and he ate it with a slice of something that maybe was worth half a house. Okay? So frenzies are frenzies. he tells specifically the story of a guy when the trading really starts to get wild. And tulips, again, I'm digressing. I'll try not to keep taking up too much of my time and yours. But part of the thing about the tulips, where they were new, they were innovative, and everybody noticed you could get a heck of a lot of yellow tulips, and you could get a heck of a lot of this, that, and the other thing. And somebody said, what can't you get? Well, you can't get a black tulip, okay? So suddenly there was this great desire. Could you, in fact, get a hybrid black tulip? So the darker your tulip got blue, it got maybe purple, and the closer you got to those things, they bid wild amounts for things that you can combine. So here comes the frenzy, and here's a guy who is doing tulips. Yeah, he's going to make some money on it, but he's not caught up in the frenzy. And in comes the Duke of whatever and says to him, I hear you have a tulip. Yes, I have. I kind of put it together, and I hope for it to bloom. And he said, I will give you a house for it. A house? Yes, a house on the outskirts of Amsterdam. He describes where it is. It has a small plot of ground around it. I will give you a house for the tulip. Well, the guy looks at it and he says, house for tulip? I grew this tulip. So he sold the house and sold the tulip for one house. 3 months later, the same tulip traded for four houses. Obviously, the guy's friends thought he was an idiot. Certainly his mother-in-law thought he was an idiot, okay? A year later, of course, he became a genius after the bubble had burst.